Take your Bibles, please, and turn to Hebrews chapter 11. I know that there has been some discussion in the past couple of weeks about this portion of Scripture. I really believe God has brought something together, and so I trust that what God has laid on my heart can be something that God in turn lays on your heart. You're all probably familiar with Corrie ten Boom and her family who hid Jews and others in their home from the Nazis during World War II. Well, this family was betrayed and sent to prison and then to concentration camps. And having just visited one of those camps, I can say that is a place you do not want to go. Now, near the end of the war, Corrie and her sister Betsy were sentenced to hard labor and ordered, for example, to push a massive car to a railroad siding, unload heavy metal plates from a boxcar, load them into the cart, and then wheel that cart to the factory. And that's what they did day after day after day. Now, these women persevered because their faith was in Jesus. They looked to Jesus, and thus they were enabled to serve and to pray for other women around them, even the cruel guards. Betsy insisted that they pray for the guards. Well, this same faith in the living God was alive and well during the Old Testament. And what strength it gave these heroes of the faith that we have looked at these past number of weeks. Well, on this Memorial Day, as we remember those who died for our freedom, I want us to also remember those who have died for the cause of Christ, like the prophets of the Old Testament, like Betsy, who did die in a concentration camp, but she died believing and praising Jesus. What a way to die. Now, the faith that enabled God's people to be strong in victory, and we see that in verse 32, and what shall I more say, for the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Jephthah and Barak and Samson and of David also and of Samuel and of the prophets who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead back to life again. Was the same faith that empowered these heroes of the faith to persevere in suffering during the hard times, the difficult times of life. And how hopeful this truth is, for all that live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. And because evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse as they deceive and are being deceived, this suffering, I truly believe, will grow, will broaden, and even become more intense. Can I say it this way? We have folk in our nation right now, people in high places, who are coming after us. They want to shut churches like this down. But again, faith provides the power to persevere to the end. And that is what we want to see this morning. That's what we want to understand. That's what we want to believe, to remain true and faithful to the end. Our outline has 4 points. Point number one, faith perseveres in persecution. Point number two, faith perseveres to death. Point number three, faith perseveres in deprivation. And point number four, the reward of those who persevere in persecution to death and privation. Well, after cataloging the heroes of faith who experienced empowerment for victory, the writer now turns his attention to those faithful who were empowered for perseverance. And we see that in verses 35 through 39, which brings us to point number one, faith perseveres in persecution. Let's notice the end of verse 35 and then verse 36. And others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. Now, the word tortured used here has an etymological reference to a large drum or a wheel on which victims were stretched and beaten or even dismembered. And we're talking here about the severest form of suffering. The book of 2 Maccabees details this appalling torture of a 90-year-old priest who refused to eat swine's flesh. And this same book recounts an even more revolting account of the torture of seven brothers who also refused to defile themselves with the meat of pigs. Now, certainly each of these men would have been released had they compromised their convictions. But they, like Moses, steadfastly refused, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God, because, as verse 35 tells us, that they might obtain a better resurrection, a resurrection to everlasting life in the world to come. Now, when we think of believers who had unjust trials, trials of cruel mockings and beatings, men like Joseph and Jeremiah and Micaiah come to mind. These men experienced both emotional abuse. They were mocked. They experienced physical abuse. The dungeons of ancient time were horrible. You think of prisons today. I mean, when you went to prison, when you went to a jail in ancient times, I mean, you went there basically to die. But the weeping prophet Jeremiah wept not so much for himself as he did for the people he was trying to serve. And so like his peers, Jeremiah endured. He persevered for the sake of the message of the Word of God. Now let me say, these examples teach us that through faith you and I can triumphantly persevere, even preferring torture to compromise and release. Faith, my friend, is strong. Faith is real when we believe the living God. Nothing is impossible when you put your trust in God. And when you put your trust in Him, God gives His grace. It's amazing grace to persevere even when facing torture. You say, well, that hasn't happened to me. Well, hopefully it won't, but it surely has happened to other believers, and it's happening right now. How blessed we are that we don't live in a Muslim country. I mean, we have the freedom to still worship the living God. We come to point number two, faith perseveres to death. The text continues, verse 37, they were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. Since stones were quite plentiful in Palestine, they were conveniently the weapons of choice used against the prophets. Remember, Jesus reminded his audience how the men of Jerusalem killed by stoning the prophets that God had sent to warn them. Now, regarding the faithful, sawn in two, tradition tells us that the people of Isaiah's day became very irritated at his powerful preaching. Isaiah, his response, he neither cried aloud nor wept, but his lips spoke with the Holy Spirit until he was sawn in twain. And others were surely tempted to doubt God's love and care. Don't men like Job, who lost his health, he lost his family, he lost his possessions. Moses, who, trying to fight for his people, found himself on the backside of the desert tending his father-in-law's sheep. Ezekiel, who found himself a captive by the river Chebar in Babylon. And Daniel, who was simply worshiping his God, faced the lion's den because of his faith, come to mind. And certainly many faithful faced the sword. Now, the text indicates that some escaped the edge of the sword, verse 34, but many suffered their final pain because of the sword. In 1 Kings 19:10, Elijah spoke of the Israelites having slain the prophets with the sword. But again, through faith, these heroes persevered to death. They persevered through faith to death. And I say, what divinely given power to stand against the Jezebels of this world. Friends, faith is strong when we believe the living God. My question is, do you believe the living God? Let me just say this, it will transform how you live. What you believe correlates to how you live. What you believe correlates to what you do with your time, your talent, your treasure. I don't know if you remember the 83 North Carolina State basketball team. And their coach was Jim Valvano. And they made this run to the national championship. They actually beat a team from Houston. They won the national championship. They were the team that no one even expected to get out of the ACC conference. They had to beat North Carolina. They had to beat Virginia with Ralph Sampson to even get into the NCAA tournament. But they kept winning game after game after game. And why? Because they had a coach that believed in them, and they believed in their coach. One of the GAs that assisted with the team said after Jim Valvano spoke to these players, after he challenged his players, they believed they could run through a wall. Friends, when you truly believe in the living God, when you truly not only believe in the living God, but when you believe God, you too will be able to run through a wall for Jesus Christ. Our problem is we don't believe. Oh, you say, well, Pastor, I do. Well, how much do we truly believe? Well, we come to our third point, and that tells us that faith perseveres in deprivation. Notice verse 37. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins. They weren't arrayed like King Charles at his coronation, who wore a robe made from silk threads wrapped in pieces of gold and silver. Rather, they were destitute, afflicted, and tormented. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth. Remember, Obadiah hid God's prophets in caves to save them from Jezebel's wrath. Friends, these saints were homeless. They did not have the necessities of life. They did not have a roof over their heads. And as they wandered here and there, they were ill-clothed and ill-fed. And why? Because they followed the living God. But then we see the parenthetical expression, of whom the world was not worthy. The world, this godless humanity, which caused these servants of God so much suffering, so much pain, so much death, did not even deserve to have such people in its midst. These heroes were so holy and so full of faith that the world was not worthy to even dwell with them. Now again, God does not promise you and me deliverance from all suffering. In fact, we are told to follow Christ. The cross must be our companion, and it's called dying to self. And Jesus reminds us, if they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you as well. But our faith is strong when we simply believe God, which means we can then run and not be weary. We can walk and not faint. We can run with endurance the race that is set before us. We can run. And I know the Bible speaks about walking, but we can also run. You know, there's something about running that really is special. We can run the race that is set before us. Which brings us to our last point, and that's the reward of those who by faith persevered in persecution, deprivation, and death. Well, they were commended. What a reward. They were commended for their faith. Verse 39 declares, and these all having obtained a good report through faith, a good report through faith. This is the end of the school year. I hope you got a good report card. I always was glad, this was going through grade school, when they said, Bobby is promoted to the next grade. I was always glad to get that promotion. Amen? But they obtained a good report because they believed God and therefore pleased God, and therefore they were praised by God. Now let me be quick to say God forgets no one who loves and serves him. You say, well, Pastor, does it matter? Does it matter if I'm faithful? Does it matter if I come back this afternoon at 5? Does it matter if I show up on Wednesday? God always sees your love and your service, your faithfulness to him. We have so many people here at Westside that faithfully, quietly, under the radar serve. Whether we are publicly recognized or not, God sees your faithfulness. God never overlooks his faithful servants. However, none of these great triumphant members of the Hall of Faith or any others of their era who persevered in persecution and deprivation and death received what had been promised. And yes, there were promises that were fulfilled in their lifetimes, but they did not receive the greatest promise, namely the coming of the Messiah and his salvation. They all died before Jesus came. Now, why is this? Well, the answer is given in verse 40, God having provided, or that word provided really has the idea of God having foreseen some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect or complete. Friends, no one was made perfect under the old covenant, and the reason Christ had not yet come, Christ had not yet died. Salvation was not complete until Christ made a perfect atonement, which we will remember this morning, for the sins of the whole world, when he could then cry, "It is finished." And so all the faithful of the ages are only made perfect in Christ. The Old Testament saints who had to look ahead to what Christ would do under the new covenant, and we as New Testament saints who have the privilege of looking back to what Jesus has done. Friends, only the work of Christ can bring together the saints of the Old Covenant and those of us of the New into a new and living way, into the very presence of God, because the veil has been torn in two through the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And therefore we can come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Friends, I hope you understand how blessed we are to live under grace and not under the law. So for our faith today, God is so good to us. For isn't free access to God a better thing than the veil of separation? Isn't Jesus, our great high priest, the Son of God, a better thing than the human priesthood with all of its mortal frailties? Think of how Aaron the priest let the people down when he led them into idolatry at Mount Sinai. Isn't the indwelling Holy Spirit a better thing than wearing a phylactery? Isn't the hope of going to be with Christ without dying, and we have that possibility, we have that hope, a better thing than resurrection even from the grave? Isn't grace a better thing than the law? And can't we all respond absolutely to each of these questions? Friends, I don't want to wear out my welcome this morning, but we are so blessed to live in 2023. We don't have to look forward to Christ. We can look back knowing that our Redeemer lives. We serve a risen Savior. We can place faith in a risen Savior. And so the perfection spoken here is of the conscience cleared from all guilt because of Christ's all-sufficient sacrifice. Remember, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. How blessed. And I know we wear out that word blessed. Get your phone out, look up the word blessed. What are the synonyms for blessed? Amen? We are blessed to know that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that we have an eternal home in heaven, and we have the Spirit of the living God living within us as we walk our pilgrimage through this world. What else can God give to us that can enable us to walk in faith with Him? 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning with verse 3. And if you want to turn there, follow with me. And you say, well, Pastor, why are you reading this chapter? Because it capsules everything we've tried to say this morning. Beginning with verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively or living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Do you ever think what's awaiting you in heaven? Who are kept or guarded by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. You know that man cannot do anything to you that is not allowed by God. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial or proof of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Maybe we will be of that number who hear the trumpet sound, whom having not seen ye love, and whom though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end or the outcome of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who have prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. These prophets have prophesied of the grace that you and I enjoy right now, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you, the Holy Spirit sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Wherefore, gird or prepare the loins of your mind, be sober, be self-controlled, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ, as obedient children, not fashioning or shaping your way of living according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning or your pilgrimage here in fear. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation or your empty manner of life received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifested in these last times for you, who by Him do believe in God, that raised Him from the dead and gave Him glory, that your faith and your hope might be in God. Seeing ye have purified, cleansed yourselves, your souls, in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned or genuine love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, all the glory of man is the flower of the grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof fadeth, falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word by which the gospel is preached unto you. Friends, do you believe the gospel that is preached unto you? Do you believe it? To be a New Testament hero of the faith, we too need to be empowered for triumph. But then we need to be empowered also for perseverance in persecution, to death, and in deprivation by believing in the new birth, by believing in the living hope, by believing in the glorious inheritance, our glorious inheritance. You know, if you know that heaven awaits you, you're not so consumed with having things and toys down here. By believing in our omnipotent God and Savior who enables us to walk in holiness and love, who enables us to persevere as salt and light in the face of the lies of the woke and sexual revolution that is invading every aspect of life, including the church. Friends, faith in Jesus, believing Jesus, is the victory that overcomes the world. There's no other way to have victory. You must believe Jesus. And I say, when you believe, you will then believe that the Lord is your helper, and therefore you do not have to fear what man shall do unto you.